Thank you, worship leader. According to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. So when the Holy Spirit, which is the indwelling spirit, when it's present in you who believe in the truth of one God, one humanity, one creation. It awakens the spirit of love, joy, peace, and self-control. And this transforms us. But if we allow certain behaviors, habits to kick in, if we are not watchful, they can hinder the work that that Holy Spirit, that indwelling spirit wants to do in our lives. Can lead to disconnection, or diminished sense of God's presence in us. When that indwelling spirit is flooding, is totally radiating within us, you find out that we're patient, we show kindness, we are gentle, we are faithful, not to anyone but to God. Because some of us, we can be faithful to people, and then the one who created us, we're not faithful to them. When that spirit is radiating fully in us, we can easily forgive. We don't harbor bitterness or resentment. Even when somebody has done us wrong, even when they don't apologize, we don't care. We still forgive them anyway. It allows us to show and extend grace and kindness to others, even those who are difficult or undeserving. It allows us to do God's will. It influences our thought forms. But when we restrict through our habits, when we do not allow the Spirit to flow and be fully established within us, even though we're created with it, we hold on, we're bitter, we hold on to bitterness, anger, malice. We don't easily forgive. Some of us, we can see how far we've moved from things like that. I used to be one of those. I didn't really follow the Jesus way. You slap me on this side, I'm not giving you the second side to slap on. Or I'm coming with my bazooka to blow you away. It might take me months, years to plan it, but I'm going to come and that way you will feel the impact of what you've done. For what? You're filled with ego. Imagine how many months I'm planning to get even. I could have done better things with that. And we ignore the Spirit's nudges and promptings telling us to do the right thing. We focus on ourselves more than on anything else. That selfish ambition, pride, and lack of humility. All of that keeps the spirit away. I'm going to share two stories because I'm not going to stay long on this. Did you grow up around here? This is what the hygienist was asking the patient. Most of all, we know we go to the hygienist to clean our teeth so that it won't rot in there. It was difficult to answer my dental hygienist question because her teeth cleaning tools were still inside my mouth. I've always wondered why they do that. If I'm filled with, and they say, let us know if things are, how am I going to do that when all these things are going on? So we learn to raise our hand. Hey, that hurts. Did you grow up around here? She explained that in 1945, our city became the first in the world to add fluoride to public drinking water. How many of us were here in 1945? They added it to the drinking water with the thought to prevent cavities. The treatment doesn't require much, just 0.7 milligrams of fluoride to a liter of water. Its positive effects are obvious to a trained professional. But I had no idea. I'd been drinking it all my life. We just turn on the tap, we drink water, we don't know what else is in there. The last I heard of recent this year, I think they are trying, some places are trying to say no fluoride in our water. It affects the children, it's what else, you know. Well, if you didn't affect those since 1945. Why is this story? Because the things we consume every day can affect us over time. That applies not only to food and drink, but also to entertainment, friends, and social media messages. In the book of Romans, New Testament, chapter 12, verse 2, the Apostle Paul cautioned, this is what he said, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. While the Holy Spirit within us is making disciples of us to be more like Him, Jesus. But people think Jesus is all loving. Yeah, He's all loving. But He knows when to stand the ground and kick out the habit that is no longer helping any of His disciples or anyone that the Spirit of God has sent Him to. He knows how to drive out the money changers in the temples. When we're tempted with certain things, that Spirit of God is within us to help us drive them out, to say, no, no, no more, no mass. The process of trying to be like Jesus and all the other saints, both women and men, or living the way the Lord really wants us to. It takes a lifetime. But sometimes we don't think so. We think we can just wing it. It doesn't, you know. It might clear the surface, but it has deep roots, as some of us are finding out. Our habits can help or hinder the work we're trying to do, God's work, what God wants us to achieve, why we came as a soul. And it is not always easy to recognize what we are consuming. But we can always ask the one who is rich in wisdom and knowledge, that indwelling spirit in us, to show us. Because sometimes we have friends, we don't even know their habits has influenced us, or that they truly drag us out of our path. Even our own parents, we do that without them knowing. A child who is seeking God, they've not come into their own, but their spirit is pushing them towards that. And the parents might not be interested in religious or spiritual things. And so it becomes a tussle. There's something enabling the child to go there, and the parents like, oh, see, those are made up stories. So for whatever reason, the parents are not following. And that might hinder that child for a while until he or she comes into his or her own life. No. Or the parent might say, well, it's your life. You do your thing. We do ours. There's a well-known female minister. She's reading so many books. Her parents weren't religious and all of that, even though the father probably was a Catholic and all, but they've gone their own. But she couldn't help it. She joined the evangelical, she did all of that. She finally became an Episcopalian priest, well-known lady, because God wanted to use her in that way. And she knows how to talk about God. Oh my gosh, I love her. I wish she was my neighbor. Probably did. Meditating and just talking about God all day long. That wisdom and discernment which the Holy Spirit has will help us test and approve what God's will is. And that same Holy Spirit helps us to add or remove from our daily lives what is meaningful to us and what is not. And it's worth it to listen to that Spirit. He's our dwelling. But it will not be in a place of prominence if you keep hanging out with the wrong crowd. Or if you are not meditating enough or praying enough. If you choose Netflix and Paramount and Disney over meditating, well, we know how that goes. We might say initially, oh, it's nothing, but it becomes a habit. And that habit, before you know it, takes over. And the Spirit will nudge you. Look, it's always good when you get that nudging, just drop everything and do what that Spirit is telling you. You will reprieve your soul. We need to be free from spiritual clutter. And these are habits and worldly distractions that can dominate our life. And it starts with our thoughts. Thoughts we always get, oh, it just 2 hours of Netflix, that's fine. Before you know it, another 2 hours of Amazon, before you know, another 2 hours of Paramount. To me, it reminds me of the days where we go from club to club to see which one is hit, which one is really happening, or from parties to parties. You quickly learn. Whatever it is that we know so much that it takes over is denying us what God wants for us. Here's my last story of the night. One disciple, he went to his teacher and said, "My thoughts are bothering me a lot. Please help me." Next day, the teacher took his disciple to a field where a farmer was taking water from a flowing canal to the field by making a path from that canal towards field. I remember we did that at my boarding school. And if you see villagers out, even in the cities, when they want to make things happen. The teacher showed that scene to his disciple and said, "If this flowing water gets the right direction, then this water will reach the fields and nourish the crops there." So when we get the thoughts, it's not that we couldn't watch, we couldn't have entertainment and social media and all of that. We need to be responsible for the thoughts. Yeah, you can watch this and then go do something that your spirit really, that nourishes your spirit. But if we don't guide those thoughts, they're always leading us away and away and away, and before you know it, then meditation is no longer part of your daily life. Not even weekly life. If you do not give this water right direction, then the water will make its own path and go there, an entire crop will be ruined. And that's what happens to those on the spiritual path. That's why they say when you are new on it, initially we have that fervent dispositions, like we can't get enough. And then maybe something happens, oh, well, this has not been working, you know. A little excuse, a little thing, before you know it, it becomes our notion. And we're so far from what we wanted to where we are now. The teacher said, just as it is important to give right direction to flowing water, in the same way, it is very important to give right direction to moving thoughts, because thoughts never stop. They are always piling, you know, it's like a wave. They keep moving continuously. It is in our hands to give direction to our thoughts. If you want, you give them spiritual path. If you want, you give them path of pleasure. It is up to you. But if you give them path of pleasure over that path that the Holy Spirit wants, there's a diminishing thing that happens. Then we don't feel the presence of God like we used to. The Holy Spirit wants us to give a room to be fully established within us, and we nourish it through meditation, we nourish it through scripture studies, Bible studies, or any scriptures. We nourish it by hanging out with people who are having the same thoughts as you. That's why we have this community. That's why we have retreats. That's why we have meditation on Wednesday, Bible studies on Monday. And coming soon, Sunday service. We all know this. There's very deep connection between mind and thoughts. Mind will go only where the thoughts take it. If it takes us to want to be like Jesus, to want to be like the saints, to want to feel the presence of God, then let us follow it. We must never allow our minds to go in the wrong direction. Therefore, we know thinking is a superpower. Positive thinking is a blessing, and negative thinking is a great curse. And you see it in the scriptures. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says, I think it's Deuteronomy 13, I might be off on that. It says, if you do what the Spirit of God in you is asking of you, these are the blessings that will come to you. But if you go against that, this is what happens. They call it a curse. But what it says to me, it means this is where the law of karma kicks in. And you can't blame God for that. Can't blame the spirit that dwells in you, because he's always asking us to go in the right direction. Holy Spirit and habits, they can dwell together. If our habit is positive in enabling the Holy Spirit to totally permeate our life. And guess what? And then it brings us the material things, pleasure that we want. Because the spirit will always guide the mind. The spirit dominates the physical existence of all creation. The mind did not create the sun, or the moon, or the stars. That was God's will. But we enjoy, don't we? That's transcendental. May our minds, may our habits be a nurturing ground for the indwelling spirit to flourish within us and lead us home to a place of full realization, a place of love, and a place of gratitude and celebration. Amen.